In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Wow, this is a heck of a view. You know, I have to appreciate the divine comedy and the humor. I've been a priest for less than 2 years. It's my first time at the cathedral pulpit. Second, I had an 8 o'clock service. When we were picking the preaching rota, I just said, yeah, I'll take the 15th. And I get the pleasure of talking of one of the most important characters in this love story, John the Baptist and his doubt about Christ. All right, let's see what we can do with this. Have you ever been in a situation where people didn't live up to your expectations? A leader, a boss, or in this case, a family member, a very important cousin? If so, you've probably felt as John did, confused, questioning, is Christ really who Christ is supposed to be in the world? Why was John confused? I can think of a couple reasons. He's in jail. After all of his life's work, John is incarcerated in Herod's prison. I imagine the prison being a dungeon, dark, a place where no hope or the opportunity of hope exists. A second, and the one I choose to believe is more likely, is because Jesus wasn't the type of Messiah John preached about, nor was he the Messiah the people expected or were looking for. They wanted a mighty ruler. They wanted a military type, a leader to free them from the Romans and bring them to the mighty back to the mighty days of King David. In uncertain times, scary times, we can get shaken up and start to have doubts. We question the leaders we love. We question our influencers and even question our faith. I grew up in the church. I'm a child of two choir directors and organists. I spent a lot of time in church. Way too much, if you ask the teenager Tim. But at my heart and in my core, I always enjoyed it. Whether I admitted it or not was a different story, and we'll save that for another homily. I've always had a special relationship with God. I felt free to question, to have my doubts, which often led me to spend a little extra time with Betty Hancock in scripture class, or commanded down to directed study with the chaplain, never of my own free will. That said, I could always hear God in my head, a quiet voice. I could clearly see God working in people around me and in creation. And I can recall many times when those tears come from nowhere, when I've been deeply moved at the works of God around me. My wife and I were living in New York on 14th and 8th Avenue on September 11, 2001. My line of work was security and emergency management for a downtown company right across the street from the World Trade Center. On that day, I supported public safety in the evacuation of people from the towers. I witnessed the destruction of life, the suffering, the pain. I saw the building crack. I took shelter during the collapse, and I survived. I began to process what had just happened. I had really strong people in my life. My best friend, my wife. My number one and lifelong confidant, my father. 3 months later, my father passed away. And I found myself on December 8th at that microphone offering his eulogy. God was gone. It wasn't until many years later I was able to reflect and see, truly see, what God was doing in my life during that time my time in the desert, holding me, then giving me sight to see again on this day, December 15th, with the birth of my son. When we, like John, are moved by the Holy Spirit, we follow God. We receive the blessings, we see God's good works, we hear the good news, and we are sure and confident that Jesus is our Savior. When we face tragedies and disasters, we question our faith, we question our God. For me, the questions I asked were, why them? Why me? My dad, why now? I thought you and I were good, God. In tragedy, it's easy and normal to get wrapped up in our own pain and suffering. And sometimes we lose the opportunity to see and hear God's presence. John shows us what happens when we have narrow expectations. For John, Christ came for him, but he came in a way John didn't expect. Jesus did not live up to the expectations of the people. He blessed the poor in spirit, the meek, the peacemakers. He called on his people not to judge others. These teachings were contrary and contrary to the expectations of the people, in strong part because of John's preaching, his fire and brimstone preaching, the image that was painted by John for others and himself. I love how Jesus did not answer John's question directly at the time. It would have been shameful and dishonorable to publicly claim oneself higher than another and another person's status in life. Jesus was born as a carpenter's son. That's how people saw him. He did not openly declare that he was the Messiah. Instead, he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and in his word and his actions, they learned to know him as the Messiah. The expectation that was met was the expectation that society would change. Healing shows itself in the face of Jesus. Compassion, the same compassion we are to show our hurting world now and our hurting selves. Jesus came to help those in need. Those didn't have anyone else to help them. He didn't come to destroy the wicked. He came to restore them and give them an opportunity for change, to see something new. Faith is hard, and it's tested daily. But I believe that faith requires doubt to be faith. All of us have had our doubts in God, Jesus, and perhaps our faith. We try to explain or rationalize the wonder and awe we see, and we doubt especially when we're suffering or screaming at God in prayer. Sometimes we wonder why God allows suffering or why God doesn't answer our prayers. At times like this, we must be like John. He had his doubts, but he was open to hearing the message and to see and to know that he was the Messiah. And when he had doubts, Jesus politely reminded him of a time when John could see. All of our doubts and all of our questions are answered in God's time. As God walks with us, sometimes it comes as a gentle push, and in my cases, it comes with a 2x4. But God always helps us, remind us, and provides opportunities to remember a time when we could see and to remove the blinders from our present circumstance. Jesus answered John's doubts with a report of his dramatic work. Matthew mentions the giving of sight to the blind. That was a unique ministry for Jesus. In the Old Testament, I don't see a record of the blind being healed, nor could I find evidence in the New Testament, recorded by any of Jesus' disciples, of performing such a miracle. It seems this miracle was reserved just for Jesus. Restore sight to see. It's the most frequent healing miracle that Jesus performed. In addition, he healed the lame, the lepers, and the deaf. Each of these compassionate acts was proof that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus asks us to stretch out our understanding of who the Messiah is, though, not as a magical problem solver, but the giver of good things, and the example of who we can be in our world, in the world, to each other and to ourselves. God does not promise a life without pain, but God does promise that God will walk with us, and we will come out whole in the end. As hard as it is, when we remain faithful in the face of suffering, or our prayers not being answered, or tragedy and pain around us, we will come out whole in the end. About John, John used a series of questions to get the crowd appraised. They were interested in him because he was a humble prophet who spoke a piercing message. John's message landed John in jail. Herod didn't like what John was spinning. And Jesus, with grace, reminded everyone that his cousin John was more than a humble prophet. He was his forerunner. He plowed the way, the best way John knew how. John the Baptist was, therefore, greater than Isaiah, Daniel, Elijah, or any of the Old Testament prophets, because John had the privilege of introducing the Messiah to the nation of Israel. Though he was lesser, because John did not see the full life of Christ, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. That was reserved for us. That was our blessing. We have experienced Christ. We have seen what Christ has done for us on the cross. We have experienced the actual atoning work of Christ. We are also greater than John because the Holy Spirit lives in us. When Jesus said, "The least of the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist," he was not belittling John, but highlighting our extraordinary privilege of being members of the kingdom. Advent is a time of expectation, a time of waiting for our coming Savior. He comes among us in his word and through the Holy Spirit. He stirs us up and gets us involved in his ministry, especially among those that are neglected in our own society. That is God's expectation for us, and it is up to us to meet those expectations. And when we have doubt, are frustrated, are discouraged, I invite you to remember a time that you could see, to look behind your expectations and look for a new place to see where Jesus, where God is working. In God and with God and through God, we find reconciliation and peace. Amen. Thank you.